Hey, everybody, welcome back to another deep dive.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, so today we're tackling something pretty huge. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than this.
No, you can't go wrong with the Lord's Prayer.
Right. Like the Lord's Prayer, we've all heard it a million times. We probably have it memorized.
At least part of it, yeah.
But we're going deep on this one with a lecture from biblical scholar Dr. Bill Mounce. And I'm telling you, there are some things in here.
Oh, yeah.
That will probably surprise you. I was surprised.
Absolutely, me too.
So we're going to unpack all of that. We're going to start with that simple request for daily bread.
Okay.
And right off the bat, Dr. Mounce points out that the Greek word for daily here is what's called a hapax legomenon.
Now what?
Hapax legomenon. It's it basically means that this word, epiosios, only appears once in all of ancient Greek literature.
Wow.
Like, we're talking everything we have from ancient Greece. This word only appears once, and it's in the Lord's Prayer.
So nobody really knows what it means.
Right. It's kind of a mystery. Like, were they talking about that day's bread or, you know, bread for the future? Like, what does daily actually mean?
Fascinating.
And it really kind of makes you realize how much we take for granted, like even something as familiar as the Lord's Prayer.
You think you know it, and then you realize there's this whole other layer of depth.
Totally. So, okay, let's talk about the meaning of daily bread. Like, in practical terms, are we talking about just our basic needs here? Food, water, shelter.
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. That, you know, scholars generally agree that it's about having enough for that day.
Okay, like the manna in the wilderness?
Exactly. Well, you know, fresh every day. Don't hoard it. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will provide.
Right. But that was, then what about us now living in this modern world with our grocery stores and our, you know, pantries full of food?
Right. Good point. And Dr. Mounce really challenges us to think about whether we truly believe in praying for our daily needs, or do we just kind of rely on our own resources, yeah, you know, our jobs or savings?
I see what you mean. So are we praying for a BMW, or are we praying for what we actually need to survive?
That's the question, isn't it? Are we focused on our wants or our true needs?
And then he throws in this other curveball about our so-called natural gifts, like intelligence, talents, even work ethic.
Okay.
He argues that those are ultimately gifts from God, too.
Hmm. So even our ability to earn a living, solve problems, it's all grace.
That's his point. And it really makes you think, are we taking credit for what was actually given to us?
It's a huge shift in perspective, right?
Totally. And maybe kind of humbling, too.
Yeah, it definitely makes you reevaluate your priorities and your prayer life.
Absolutely. Okay, so moving on to another weighty phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, what's fascinating here is this double meaning of debts.
Right. It's not just about money owed. It's also about spiritual debts. The things that separate us from God.
I see. So it's like owing something to God, not just to a person.
Exactly. And that requires his forgiveness. But then the question becomes, how does our forgiveness of others impact God's forgiveness of us?
Yeah, that's a big one. And it's right there in the prayer. Like, it's almost like a condition.
What's a common question? And Dr. Mounce breaks it down by explaining two types of forgiveness. There's the initial forgiveness we receive at conversion.
Okay, so like a clean slate.
Exactly. But then there's this ongoing forgiveness that we need as we continue to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mess up. We need to be cleansed.
Right, the daily kind of forgiveness.
Precisely. And that's where our forgiveness of others comes in. Dr. Mounce uses the image of a wall being built between us and God when we harbor unforgiveness.
Whoa, I like that analogy.
Right, you can almost feel that blockage when you hold on to anger and resentment. It creates distance in the relationship.
It's like if you're fighting with your spouse and you just let that resentment fester, it's going to damage your communication.
Exactly. And it's the same with God. If we're holding on to unforgiveness, it hinders our relationship with him.
And there's actually a verse that supports this in 1 Peter 3.7. It says, husbands, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Wow. So it's not saying we lose our salvation, but it definitely affects our connection with God.
That's pretty powerful. And, you know, it makes you think, because forgiveness is hard. Like, it's not always just a simple, I forgive you and everything's magically better.
Absolutely. It can be a long and painful process. And Dr. Mounce actually gets really personal about this. He shares this heartbreaking story about his own family and a painful experience involving church elders.
Oh, wow.
His daughter would actually get physically sick when entering a church because of the trauma associated with it. And his son joined the Marines, partly due to the anger and hurt he was carrying.
Oh, man, that's just heavy.
It is. And it really highlights the real-life consequences of unforgiveness. It's not just some abstract concept. It has a ripple effect.
It's like this weight you carry around and, you know, it affects everything.
And I think what's so powerful about hearing Dr. Mounce's story is that he's been there. He He knows the struggle.
He gets it, and he emphasizes that struggling with forgiveness is actually a sign of spiritual health.
Really?
Yeah. He says it means you're aware of the issue, you're wrestling with it.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Right. He compares it to having asthma. If you're struggling to breathe, it means you're still alive.
Okay. I like that analogy.
So the struggle is actually a good sign, but then the question becomes, how do we actually move towards forgiveness when it feels impossible? Like, where do we even start?
Well, that's where Dr. Mounts shares this really helpful advice he got from a friend, Dr. Jerry Sitzer.
Okay.
Who wrote a book called A Grace Disguised.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's really good, especially if you're dealing with any kind of pain or trauma. But anyway, Dr. Sitzer told Dr. Mounts to start by praying for a forgiving heart.
Interesting. So not even praying for the other person to be forgiven, but praying for yourself to be able to forgive.
Exactly. It's like asking God to change your heart first, to soften it up, to make it capable of letting go of that anger.
I see. So it's about that internal transformation before the external action.
Right. And what's amazing is that as Dr. Mounts started praying this way, he noticed a shift within himself. Like, he gradually became more willing to pray for those who had hurt him, even if he didn't fully mean it at first.
That makes sense. Like, you're taking those baby steps, even if you don't feel it 100% yet.
Exactly. It's a process. Yeah. And eventually Dr. Mounts reached this point where he realized he no longer wanted God to punish those elders who had hurt his family.
Wow, that's huge. Like, he had truly let go of that desire for revenge.
He even describes looking at pictures of one of them, a man who had been his closest friend, and feeling sadness for the pain this man had brought upon himself.
It's like that saying, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Right. It's really about freeing yourself from that bitterness and allowing yourself to heal.
Okay, so we've gone deep on forgiveness, but there's one more part of the Lord's Prayer that we need to unpack. Lead us not into temptation. And this one always kind of trips me up. Like, we know God doesn't tempt us, so what's going on here?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those theological head scratchers. And Dr. Mounts doesn't shy away from the difficulty. He actually lays out three main challenges in interpreting this verse.
Okay, I'm listening.
First, if God doesn't tempt, why was Jesus tempted? Second, the word temptation can also mean testing, which God does use to refine our faith. And third, are we talking about evil in general or the evil one, Satan specifically?
So many layers to unpack.
It's like a theological onion.
Right. And what I appreciate is that Dr. Mounts doesn't pretend to have all the answers. He's wrestling with these questions right alongside us.
It's more about the journey of exploration than arriving at a definitive answer.
Exactly. And in that process, we often discover some pretty cool insights, like this concept of litotes.
Litotes.
Yeah. It's basically a literary device where you deny the opposite to emphasize a point.
Give me an example.
Okay, so instead of saying he's a wealthy man, you might say he's not exactly poor.
Okay, I see. So it's kind of like understatement.
Right. And Dr. Mounts suggests that this phrase, lead us not into temptation, could actually be a litotes.
Interesting. So how does that work?
Well, by saying lead us not into temptation, the emphasis is actually on God's active role in delivering us from evil.
I see. So it's less about asking God to prevent something he wouldn't do anyway, and more about affirming his power to protect us.
Right. It shifts our perspective from passive to active, like, help me overcome this, not just don't let this happen.
Okay, that makes sense. And it really ties into what we were talking about earlier with spiritual warfare.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because Dr. Mounts actually shares some pretty wild personal experiences with spiritual warfare in this lecture.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, for starters, his youngest son, Hayden, can actually see demons.
Wait, hold on. He can see demons?
Yeah, apparently he's been seeing them since he was a little kid. Yeah. And Dr. Mounts describes Hayden coming to him completely freaked out, saying there were demons in the garage.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
And it's not just Hayden bad. Dr. Mounts himself had some pretty unsettling experiences for a whole year. He would wake up every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. to strange noises.
What kind of noises?
His name being called, chains rattling, even feeling like he was being physically pulled out of bed.
That's creepy.
I know. And one morning his wife was pulled out of bed too.
Seriously?
Yeah, it sounds crazy. But Dr. Mounts believes it was a direct attack from Satan trying to stop him from preaching that Sunday.
And what's even crazier is that as soon as he stopped preaching, those experiences stopped.
It's a pretty strong correlation, and it really makes you think about the spiritual forces at play, especially when you're actively living out your faith.
Like, if you're not making waves, you're not sailing fast enough.
Exactly. But Dr. Mounts isn't trying to scare us with these stories. He's just emphasizing the importance of being aware of this spiritual dimension.
I can't just pretend it doesn't exist.
Right. And he actually recommends a seminar on spiritual warfare by a guy named Gary Bashir.
I think I've heard of him.
He says it's crucial for anyone in ministry, especially those in leadership.
Like, forewarned is forearmed. The more we understand the enemy's tactics, the better we can stand our ground.
And that brings us full circle back to that line in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
It's acknowledging that we need God's protection, guidance, and strength to face these battles, both seen and unseen.
We're definitely not meant to go it alone. And, you know, it strikes me that the Lord's Prayer isn't just some nice collection of words we rattle off. It's a powerful expression of our dependence on God.
For our daily needs, for forgiveness, and for protection from evil.
It's a reminder to live with that humble surrender, knowing we need His grace every step of the way.
And as we've seen through Dr. Mounce's experiences, that grace is always available, always enough, and it has the power to change us from the inside out.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to encourage you to think about your own relationship with the Lord's Prayer. Is it just a ritual, or do you approach it with a sense of awe?
What about forgiveness? Is this something you wrestle with? Are there any walls you need to tear down, any bitterness you need to release?
And finally, how do you see spiritual warfare playing out in your own life? Are you relying on God's protection and guidance as you face your own challenges?
These are big questions, but they're at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus.
Dr. Mounce's story shows us that faith is a journey, and it's often marked by both pain and transformation.
Absolutely.
So let this deep dive be an invitation to go deeper with the Lord's Prayer, embrace the power of forgiveness, and walk with confidence, knowing you're never alone in this spiritual battle.
And maybe, just maybe, the next time you pray those familiar words, they'll hold a whole new meaning for you. Our Father who art in heaven.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep exploring the depths of your faith until next time. All right, so we're picking up where we left off, talking about spiritual warfare and Dr. Mounce's personal experiences with it.
Yeah, it sounds like some pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, it gets pretty intense. He starts by talking about his youngest son, Hayden.
Okay.
Who can actually see demons.
Wait, he can see demons?
Yeah, like actually see them. And it's not just a one-time thing. He's been seeing them since he was a little kid.
I can't even imagine what that would be like.
And Dr. Mounce describes Hayden coming to him, totally freaked out, saying there were demons in the garage.
Oh, wow. That would be scary.
And it's not just Hayden. Dr. Mounce himself had some pretty crazy experiences for a whole year. He would wake up every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. to strange noises.
3.0 a.m. every Sunday.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, right? And it wasn't just like a random noise here and there. He'd hear his name being called, chains rattling.
That's giving me chills.
I know. And he even felt like he was being physically pulled out of bed.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
And one morning, his wife was pulled out of bed too.
No way.
Yeah, it's wild. And Dr. Mounce believes it was a direct attack from Satan trying to stop him from preaching that Sunday.
I mean, it's hard to ignore that kind of pattern, right?
Especially when you consider that as soon as he stopped preaching, those experiences stopped.
It's a pretty strong correlation.
And it really makes you think about the reality of this spiritual dimension and how it can manifest in our lives.
I mean, if you're out there making a difference for God, you're going to attract some attention from the enemy.
Right. And Dr. Mounce isn't trying to scare us with these stories, but he does stress the importance of being aware of this spiritual battle.
It's not about living in fear, but about being prepared.
Exactly. And he actually recommends a seminar on spiritual warfare by a guy named Gary Bashir.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
He says it's crucial for anyone in ministry, especially those in leadership.
It's like forewarned is forearmed.
So the more we understand the enemy's tactics, the better we can stand our ground.
You know, ultimately, it all comes back to that dependence on God that we were talking about earlier.
Right. Recognizing that we need His protection, His guidance, His strength to face these battles.
We're not meant to go it alone.
And that's really what the Lord's Prayer is all about, isn't it? And it's an expression of our need for God.
For our daily bread, for forgiveness, for deliverance from evil.
It's a reminder that we can't do this life on our own.
We need His grace every step of the way.
And you know what's so beautiful about that is that His grace is always there, always available, always enough.
It's a promise we can cling to.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Lord's Prayer, I just want to encourage you to think about how these words apply to your own life.
What does it mean for you to ask for daily bread?
To ask for forgiveness.
To ask for protection from temptation.
And how are you experiencing that spiritual battle in your own life?
These are questions worth pondering.
And maybe the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, those words will take on a whole new meaning.
It's a prayer that can change us from the inside out.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a great conversation.
Keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep exploring the depths of your faith until next time.